We come to study six on the Christian in the Chinese culture. Last week we considered the Chinese philosophy part one. There was an introduction. We were not looking at the philosophy of those well-known Chinese philosophers, but we are looking at the basic understanding behind everyday life of the Chinese. And whether the Chinese himself recognized it or not, he is influenced by this background understanding of things. He himself might not be able to articulate why he behaves in a certain way, but certainly his culture has influenced the way he thinks and behaves. And of course, there are those who know more of this in an intellectual way, then they can explain things better. But we just want to point out that there were a few principles that govern many arts and practices of the Chinese in their everyday life. We have looked at the yin-yang principle of Tai Chi, and then we have looked at the five elements principle and the Pa Kua or eight trigram. And these three combined together provide the Chinese an understanding of life, including life in the natural world, in medicine, martial arts, feng shui, etc. So if you are hearing all this for the first time, you are really, it's too much and too much of a complication. But actually, when seen this way, as with the three categories of the three principles that govern all the Chinese behavior and life in his normal living, it becomes clearer. You see how each is distinct from the other and how they interact with one another and how it affects the Chinese thinking. Okay? So we are now going to see how these three basic principles apply to a number of areas in a Chinese life, and then we will form a Christian assessment, a biblical assessment of the Chinese culture as far as how these three principles affect their life. So we consider first the applications of these three principles. First, to the natural world. Now, if we use a yin-yang principle, by the way, don't pronounce it as yang. The Americans or the Westerners tend to pronounce it as yin-yang, you know, so very, it doesn't sound nice to us. We say yin-yang. The yin-yang principle is of Tai Chi. Tai Chi means ultimate terminus, the end, the grand terminal. And the philosophy of it is that it evolved from Wu Qi. Wu Qi is a nothingness, and yet there's something there. See? So the Western philosophy will call that the ether or the primordial mess or whatever. You see? But the point is that the Chinese way of looking at it is that this has form and yet it has no form. And when it moves, the two principles within it interact with one another. Then it forms into a harmony, it moves in a harmony, the yin and the yang principle. Within the yang, there is a yin germ. Within the yin, there is the yang germ. And it's represented by that circle with a double fish. See? One black, one white, see? One chasing after the other. And in the black, there is a white dot. In the white, there is a black dot. So that is the symbol of the yin-yang principle. So how it is applied, it depends on how well you are versed in the principles of all these three principles. But as far as the yin-yang principle is concerned, one simple example is to classify nations according to the land area and also the population density. So if we assign yang for large and yin for small area, or yang for large population and yin for small population, then we have the following classifications. We have population and territory, okay? So the population and the territory should be pushed further up so that they are closer together. So in the diagram on your notes there, so for China and America, both have large populations and both has large territories. So we can represent the population with a solid stroke and also the territory with a solid stroke. So we have these two solid lines parallel to one another. This represents China or USA. Then Canada or Australia have large land areas, but small populations relatively to their areas. So since there's small population, we represent it with a yin or a broken line at the top, and then the land area at the bottom is a solid line. So those two parallel lines, but one above the other, and one above is broken line. So that represents Canada or Australia. Then Japan has a big population, but a small land mass compared to the relative to their need as a of the people. The people are all crammed together into a small area, something like Hong Kong, but Hong Kong is part of China. We consider Japan. So the land area, the population will therefore be a solid line, and the land area will be represented by the broken line. Then consider Iceland. There's both big, small population, small island. So these are broken line and broken line. Okay? So if we classify nations like this, you see, it provides a quick visual understanding of them. Say, you look at them and classify them. These nations could lie under this category. That those nations lie under this category, and so on. And this can then be translated to predictions of business opportunities or military strategies, and so on. Say, depending on what you want to use this for. Okay, and of course, with modern science and mathematics, you can write equations and then fit each category of nations under by a parameter. You know, in mathematics, we use the word parameter. So in this case, there are only two parameters, so there are only four combinations possible. So if you can classify nations like this, then what do you want to do with the nations? You say, if you want to predict what they will be like in the future, okay? So based on their technology, you say, so this is a variable, technology is a variable. So if technology, is it there? If it is there, then both will be competing together. So since China and USA, the two parameters are both the same, therefore the variable that comes in will affect them both. So we foresee that the two will be contending with one another in the future. So this is a prediction. So it just makes common sense. When explained simply like this, you see, it makes sense. Yeah? But as it gets more complicated, more variables come in and more factors are considered, you discover you have to have a way of assigning the nations and classify them and see what you want to do with them. So similarly, when you are considering which nation to be allied with, which to form friendship with, and so on, you will have to know where they stand in regard to all this. See, all these variables, okay? So this is one simple way of understanding how the yin-yang principle is applied to classify nations or people and so on. Then when applied to medicine, the five elements principle and the yin-yang principle, they provide a basis for the study of physiology, that is the makeup of the human body, pathology, what are the problems or sicknesses, diagnosis, that is to discover what is actually the problem, and then therapy, that is what is the cure. So this is in traditional Chinese medicine. Then the internal organs are divided into two groups. In my limited understanding, it appears so arbitrary, okay? So I pursued a little about this. I've done some reading, but I didn't want to pursue too far because it takes time, and in the end you have to ask, is it worthwhile? Okay? So what happened is that the internal organs are divided into two categories. The five yin or solid organs, they are the heart, the spleen, the lungs, the kidneys, and the liver. So these are the five organs. And the six yang or hollow organs, the intestine, the stomach, the large intestine, the bladder, the gallbladder, and what is called the triple burner. And this is not considered an organ in Western medicine, but in Chinese medicine, this is regarded as an organ. And what is this? This is the space above and below the pericardium. So if you look at the human body, see, just below the lungs, there is a diaphragm there, a membrane there, you see. So the diaphragm separates the organs below and the organs above, see? So above the diaphragm is at the lungs and the heart. So that is the first part of the triple burner. So the first hollow space. See? Then below the diaphragm, there is the upper and the lower. See? The upper will be where the stomach and the spleen lies. The lower will be where the intestines and the bladder lies, lie where they lie. Okay. So when, for example, in the practice of Qi Gong, they have a model to help them in their breathing exercises. See, I digress a little. We'll talk a little bit about the Qi Gong a little later. But for the moment, because of referring to the triple burner, I want to see help you see the relevance. You see, so in Qi Gong, for example, you see the lungs don't just breathe in like that. In Western way of exercise, you breathe. You see, you lift up your lungs like that. But when you look at the structure of the lung, you see, the lung actually is shaped narrow at the top and wide at the bottom, narrow at top, bottom and wide at the bottom, you see. So if you are concentrating on breathing up here, very little absorption is taking place. Whereas the Chinese way of breathing is to return to what a baby is supposed to breathe with. That namely to breathe deep. So instead of pressing, sucking your air in and then allow the upper body, you lift up your hands and your shoulder so that more air comes into the upper part of the lung. But the Chinese is that you begin with the bottom. The bottom lung is area is bigger. You breathe down. Don't press too hard until you hurt yourself. But you press deliberately down. See? Then when you press down, of course, as the air fills up, it fills up the narrower part. But more air is being absorbed because the bottom lung is wider in the area. You see? And because visually you want to help yourself to understand, you want a model to cling onto. It's not direct, there's no direct relation, but indirectly. When you blow down the air into the lower lung, what happens is that your stomach bulges out because the air pushes the lung and lung pushes the diaphragm pushes the stomach in. So the bottom bulges up. You see? So you see that now the effect of the three spaces there. See? The upper, lower and lowest. See? So that is why you see in order to when applied to Qi Gong, it is in order that your more air gets breathed in, more oxygen gets in, and therefore your health improves. And in martial arts, because you are learning to push down, and your bottom is heavier rather than your top. And it just takes 1 centimeter of difference to have your center of gravity shifted to make you more stable or unstable. You see, really, there's a big difference, you know. You see? So take for example, if you want to fall down, you see, we teach people how to fall, to break the fall, you see. So if you were to bend your knees slightly as you fall, you see, the bottom will hit the ground lower. Just an inch of difference will make so much less impact, you see. And if you learn to hit your hand and lift up your leg, lift up your head, so your body rolls, you see. As you fall down, it rolls, you see. Then it absorbs the fall. So you see now that 1 inch difference makes such a big difference in your impact. Really, you can calculate it and see the backside hits the ground or the head hits the ground harder if it is higher up. So by breathing down, your organ is constantly relaxing down. So your center of gravity is shifted down 1 cm, 1 inch, you see. And therefore, in martial arts, you are more stable, you see. When pushed, you don't fall easily, you see. So all these are involved, but it can be scientifically explained, except that often people don't explain scientifically. People use the traditional model to say, breathe down to your tan tian. It is called the tan tian down there. Breathe down, accumulate qi in your tan tian. So it's only a model. Okay? But because it has not been studied scientifically, it creates a lot of problem with the Western mind. Okay? And also, because it is not governed by and regulated by scientific experiments and control, superstition also tend to get in. Therefore, what may be explained scientifically is mixed with superstition and all those make-beliefs, things that are taught. See? and the organs are packed together. So for example, the heart and the intestine are paired together. One is yin, one is yang. See, then each pair of organs in turn are related to an element of nature. Remember the five elements? So if I recite in Hokkien, because I say I learned this from my Kung Fu teacher, now my last Kung Fu teacher, I have four Kung Fu teachers. So my last Kung Fu teacher is quite a scholar. So he is a Hokkien man. So he say, Kim Bok Swing Or Tor, you know. So Kim is gold, Bok is wood, Sui is water, Ngo is fire, Tor is earth. So I recite like that very quickly, Kim Bok Swing Or Tor. So straight away I'm thinking, Kim Bok Swing Or Tor. So the Chinese associate, in the Chinese traditional medicine associate each set of organs, each pair of organs to one of the elements. And because in the five elements, you remember there's a destructive cycle and a creative cycle. The creative cycle helps one another, the destructive cycles destroy one another. So by applying the understanding of all this, they come up with certain theories about how the body works. And because they believe that nature tends to repeat itself because of the cycle of the seasons and the constellations, and there's some basis in that. That's why they could draw up the calendar. That's why they can predict seasons. That's why they can predict even disaster occurring. For example, the Wang He, the Yellow River. Every so often, after how many years, there would be a major flooding and many people die. So they know how it is related to the weather, to the constellation. So by arranging all this and studying all these factors, it becomes too complicated for the average mind. Only the experts know the reasoning behind it. So in that way, the experts can tell and say, you be careful, within the next 3 years, a major disaster is going to occur. They might not be able to narrow down to just 1 year, but they say it's any time now, between the 1 to 3 years it will occur, because of the cycle of 12 years and 12 years and then combinations of each cycle and the various factors that are taken into account. But the experts are very few now, you see, and along the way, because it's mixed with superstitions and hearsay, people just say something and it's picked up as though it's scientific truth, when in fact it is just somebody saying something and it's picked up, you see. So for us, we have to separate what is credible from what is not credible. And because there's no rules, no scientific a control in the experimentation, people find it very difficult to accept traditional Chinese medicine as proper science. So people who have no patience with this just sweep it aside and say it's pseudoscience, false science. See? So what needs to be done is to rescue what was originally an attempt at scientific approach but never quite arrived there. So to remove all the superstitions and hearsay away from what are factual, and then restudy them and realign them to proper science. And that is beginning to be done in China, in Taiwan, many parts of the world. Even in some Western countries, they are putting traditional Chinese medicine to proper scientific studies, including Qi Gong, you know, the people are studying what is Qi scientifically. They use cathode ray tubes and so on, like, just to see, you know, there are things that are not, they are more of the on the ionic level, you see. So there's positive ions and negative ions, and they use cathode ray tubes and see why some people, you know, they seem to have certain warmth from their hands. See, what is that? So they appear to make the cathode ray tube light up and so on. So it's still in its infancy. There are some indications that something is happening. The body is made by God and is capable of many things. But the human race, through the fall, begin to abuse the body and forget true knowledge. And with time, we come up with superstitions and abuse of various kinds. So that is my take of the traditional Chinese medicine. If you ask me, I would say I trust Western medicine more than traditional Chinese medicine because of the long centuries of neglect and abuse whereby facts are mixed with fiction and a lot of hearsay and superstitions added to what could have been scientific. See? And with the slow recovery and attempt to restore traditional Chinese medicine to its proper place on a scientific basis, there might be still hope for the future, but currently we have to be very careful. Take for example, Chinese medicine, often it appears to do wonders. Wow, straight away you take, you get cured. I remember the Liu Shen one, last time, the small plastic bottle with tiny little dots of black medicine. So when you have a bad sore throat, you take those maybe 6 BG or 12 BG, depending on how serious it is, pieces, and you put into a small cup and just put a small amount of hot water, then use a spoon to rub until it dissolves. See, and when you drink it, while it goes on the throat, you straight away sense it's soothing. And just once or two times during the day, you take that, you're cured the following day. Wonders! See? But what happened is, in recent years, it was banned. Why? Because it contains mercury and contains various other things, probably steroid, you see, which has bad side effects. And mercury is poisonous, you see. So it might have curative effect, but the point is that it also does a lot of harm. Yeah? But what if this is properly studied, and in certain situations, if we can use the good effects and prevent the nasty effects, wouldn't that be good? See? But we know from experience that those medicine was so effective for bad sore throat. Yeah. No Western medicine can match it up to now. Yeah. But because it's banned, we can't get it anymore. We can't get it anymore today. Yeah. Huh. But in the long run, you take that, you might be destroying your health. You see? So if only we live in later years, perhaps with the advantage of scientific experimentation and control, we will have the benefits of traditional Chinese medicine. But I have to say honestly that at this point in time, I can't trust traditional Chinese medicine. Unless it is just something superficial, I don't want to ingest anything. Anything that needs to be swallowed, I want to be careful, of Chinese medicine. So steroids and mercury, arsenic is used quite a lot, zinc as well, you see. Zinc and iron, at least not too bad, but really mercury, arsenic, steroid, they are harmful. So be very careful, okay? Then we move on to the martial arts, you see. The martial arts is divided into the external schools and the internal schools. So the external schools concern themselves more with the development of skills and movements or techniques and physical strength. The internal schools concentrate more on the cultivation of the mind and the internal power of the qi or cosmic energy. So you might think again this is hocus pocus, but I have given you I have attempted to give you a scientific explanation of the qi that in the human body we cultivate qi in the Tan Tian. The Tan Tian is the name of that point, three fingers below your navel, three fingers in. Roughly, if you picture mentally, there is a point. Physically, there is no such point, you see? But this is only a model to help the people in training so-called meditation. Actually, it's breathing exercises. So normally, you're told to relax, see, empty your mind. But the expression empty your mind is very misleading. Emptying the mind straight away to the Christian will say, oh, that is not good. We must be in control of our mind. If the Holy Spirit is in us, we don't empty our mind. But in practice, is it really possible to empty your mind? You can cut off a thought and then another thought will come in. You cut off a thought, another thought come in. What it basically, the breathing exercises is teaching you is to relax. Yes, to relax, you see. And being relaxed makes all the difference. Tonight, if you're sleeping with anybody, you see, you watch the person who has fallen asleep. Often you see the tension there, you see, the wrinkle on the face, you see. Because we carry with us into our sleep tension. And in the day, imagine that tension is even more intense, but you don't realize it. you're carrying with you the tension. That's why when you talk to people, you perhaps you are in a hurry, and sometimes you say words that are a bit impatient and things like that. If only you will relax, yeah, see. And so techniques are invented to help you relax your body. So one method is you imagine you are submerged in water. Then the water level comes down, 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 down. And as the water level comes down, use that as a measure. From the top of your head, you relax, 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 relax. From the top to your shoulder, down, relax, relax, all the way down. See? Then one more time. See? And they say, now ladies do it 7 times, men do it 6 times. I don't know why 6 or 7, it might be the other way. But actually, to me, there's no 6 or 7 times. You can do it 10 times if you like, you can do it only 2 times if you like. If it helps, it works, you see, it learns, it helps you to relax. Because sometimes you are relaxed one part or relaxed one part, the other parts are not relaxed, you see. So that way is a model, it's only a way of helping you think. Then breathing is slow and deep. And like what I mentioned earlier, the deep breathing has a scientific explanation because it goes to the wider part of your lungs. So in that way, and furthermore, with a little bit of push, more air is absorbed into the lung, see, rather than normal breathing. And normal breathing is upper breathing, you see. So the air hardly goes to the bottom of the lungs, see. So in that way, you see that there is something is happening. But because we can't explain it scientifically yet, or people have not put it to make the effort to explain it scientifically, it's mixed so much with hearsay and make beliefs. Superstition comes in, and again, like traditional Chinese medicine, we have to learn to separate what is fact from fiction. See? So what is this qi? Qi is supposed to be a cosmic energy that is all around us. And then this qi also permeates our body. And our body can be harnessed in such a way as to cultivate qi so that more and more qi accumulates in us. Whereas the normal person has not much qi. The qi just permeates and it permeates around together with the world, you see. But as you cultivate qi, it is supposed to accumulate in your tan tian. In your tan tian, the qi accumulates very powerfully. And then with practice, you can actually divert the qi wherever you want it. For example, if you fall down and you hurt your left shoulder and there's a bruise there, okay? So if you are a person who has trained qi gong and you know how to move your qi, you move your qi there and then you sense the warmth there, you see? Now, scientifically, you may be able to explain that actually there's no movement at all. Only thing is you are relaxed there, and when you are relaxed, more blood flows there, you see? And because you are bruised there, you see, you feel the sensation there. That could be a mechanical, practical way of explaining things, what is happening. And because you relax there and the more blood flows and it heals faster, okay? That can be something that may be a possible explanation, or this could be one of the factors combined with one or two others that affect the quick cure, okay? And of course, the Chinese have discovered I know there are a number of vital points on the body called acupuncture points. They correspond largely with the acupuncture point, 360 altogether, but 36 of which are fatal, you see. And the 36, many of them happen to lie up in right in the middle of the body. If you draw a line all around you, you see, so at the top there's one crucial point. When you use a stick to hit a person right on the top here, then he's likely to die. The head will swell and then he'll die, you see. So the point in between the eyes, for example, you don't get hit there, you know. So, you know, the one durian seller who promoted the Musang King, he supposed to slip and then fall, he fell forward and hit exactly at that corner of the table and that point, and he died, you see. So this is what I learned from his uncle who sells durians in SS2, see. So, but they don't know that this is a very crucial point. You don't have to hit very hard, and that part can cause death also, you know. So that's why when we study the Bible, you say David, you say, he aimed his stone to hit Goliath in between the eyes. You think it's accidental? You can say, oh, God guided him. Of course, God was in everything that happened at that time. But certainly God used means, and David must have trained to use a catapult, the sling, very well, very accurate. And he has fought lions, he has fought bears before, you see. And surely David, being a self-taught man of war, you know, he would have studied, examined the animal. You try to hit the lion on the body, it's useless. You know, what is a man compared to a lion? You know, is it useless hitting him on the body? So David must have studied how to poke from the bottom. You see, poke at the side of the neck, and at the eyes, you know, and the nose, you see. To hit at those tender points and those crucial points, you see. So if you know where, then you discover that at least you stand a chance. And I believe that David has observed all this. So when he shot the sling at Goliath, it was deliberate. See, God in his providence had trained David in the use of the sling, and he was very accurate, and he knew where to strike. See, that's why one blow brought down Goliath. See, so back to this, the martial arts. So the internal school, there are three major internal schools. The Tai Chi Qian. Qian means fist or art, the fighting art, martial art. So Tai Chi Qian, Pa Kwa Qian, and the Wu. The Xing Yi Qian. The Xing Yi Qian use the five elements. Okay, so there are slight differences, but they all operate on roughly the same principles. Tai Chi, for example, use mainly horizontal circles. So when you attack, they just move you horizontally and then bring you to the ground. See, Pa Kwa use vertical circles. You see, so when you attack, they divert you vertically and then you fall down to the ground. See. Xing Yi is a straight type of art. They go straight for you and attack straight, hit at your vital points, you see. So one is straight line, one is horizontal circle, one is vertical circles, but they use various of these principles. They are combined together, but nevertheless, each school focuses on developing or applying one particular principle to their techniques, you see. So these are the internal schools. The internal schools take longer to master because they begin by cultivating the internal energy, internal strength, and teaching you to really learn to relax. And yet it is not soft. It is not without motion, you see. It is actually a controlled type of relaxness, you see. So they want to train you in that. And for the normal human person, our everyday life is such that it works against this type of relaxation. So they want to train you, and at the same time they train you not only to relax internally, they also train you to breathe in the in a certain way so that you are more powerful inside you. And then they are also at the same time training you in the coordination of the various moves that are needed for the various techniques. See? So put together, it sounds so complicated. But when analyzed like this, you discover, no wonder that's what we were doing. We were told to do this, constantly breathing exercise, that some throughout the standing exercise. You know, what is all this? It's learning how to adjust your posture, such that, you know, the posture is more stable, adjust such that the sockets, the arms are fit into the socket, the legs are fit into the socket here, and then the kwa here is so very important, the bone must fit into the socket. Otherwise, if you are tense, you know, your socket is, your bone is out of your socket. When you exert force, see, it is only the arm or the leg that is exerting force. But if you are fit together into the socket, you discover when you exert force in a certain way, your whole body is against the person. See? So a person who is not trained, he might be, you know, his hand is trying to move this. But a person who is trained, he's relaxed and the arm is connected to here, and then he just moves. Yeah? He uses this to move, you see. So it's much, much more powerful. So in the martial arts, all these principles are put together such that It sounds so complicated to the beginner, but when analyzed like that, you discover, it makes sense. It makes sense. You see. So that's why they appear to be able to do amazing feats. So amazing. Why a smaller sized person can appear to throw a huge sized person so far away? See? It's not because he has bulk strength, but the combination of techniques, timing, and proper use of the body, and with the years of training, you see, the although small size, the body is in maximum efficiency. See? So does that make sense? You see, so you see here, the art is shrouded with a lot of mystery, but actually, when explained like that, you discover it. There's a lot of sense in it. Yeah? And of course, the vital points are also used for healing. Yeah? So when you strike a person at the vital point, you see, there's the in the old days, to learn to maim, you must also learn to heal. See? So that's why you find the old-style traditional Kung Fu practitioner, he's also a Tiet Ta man, you know, a person who heals as well. So if your bone is dislocated, he knows how to fix it and so on. There's a few of those people that focus on being experts in this area. They have to train both to maim and to heal. So that's why those who are good at this traditional medicine in the old days were actually good fighters. And good fighters, in some sense, to some degree, they will be able to heal. See? That's in the old days. Nowadays, traditional Chinese medicine is just studied on its own with no connection with the martial arts. But in the old days, it's connected together. Okay, so we move next to feng shui. Feng shui basically means, literally translated, wind and water. Feng, in of course, our old way of pronouncing is feng. When raised up young, from young, we learn a lot of wrong pronunciation, or at least one way of pronouncing it. It's not wrong or right. We say mama, yeah, but nowadays we're told mama. Yeah, you don't say mama, you know, mama. You see? In the old days, we had jie jie. But nowadays, we are taught jie jie. Yeah? So the pronunciation is slightly different. So feng, feng, yeah? Meng, yeah? Now it's meng. Yeah? So in many songs, you still hear people sing meng, wo meng li, you yi duo xiao hua, you know? So, but actually, the proper Beijing dialect is adopted as a universal Mandarin pronunciation. So it's feng, so that's why it's feng shui. Okay? So feng shui literally means wind and water. And at the basic level, feng shui is the art of living in harmony with one's environment. Man-made objects such as the furniture in the house and buildings and gardens are arranged or built in such a way as to provide the best blend with the natural environment with the aim of achieving harmony and prosperity. The art, however, has been developed beyond the basic level to become a form of geomancy that is rooted in Taoist philosophy. Again, you see, as we study each art, you see the principle behind it forms the basis. Then as it develops, because of a lack of scientific experimentation, a lack of scientific control, see, what were discovered as something that worked becomes combined with explanations that do not really make sense. And along the way, much of these so-called explanations and the hearsay theories are just added in, so it becomes so very difficult to separate from what is proper and what is just mere superstition. And a lot of this feng shui is basically common sense, but sad to say, not everybody has common sense. That is a problem, isn't it, with the human race. Very few have real common sense, see. So in fact, many of the customs and cultures and taboos and so on, if only we have more common sense, we would have picked up quickly along the way. Maybe we make one or two mistakes at the beginning, but we quickly picked up, see. For example, to Chinese people throughout the world, any house that faces a road, a road runs down the in front of the house, that is bad feng shui. See? And common sense will tell you, see, if the road is in front of you, a car coming instead of turning left or right, it might crash into your gates. See? And your own car might, if you don't pull the brakes, it might roll down the road and then you'll be gone, you see. Then water is supposed to be good, especially flowing water. So flowing water, if it is a fountain in front of your house, that is good, because water is flowing and so you are accumulating good qi in your house. See? But if the water is flowing in front of your house, instead of a waterfall, you are accumulating water. See, water, a river or a stream flowing in front of your house or at the back of your house, then it is, that house has bad qi. The qi is being taken away, therefore your prosperity is also being taken away. And I give you one example of, I have to be a bit personal here. You see, you know that my brother, one of my brothers, was quite a senior police officer, and in the early days, his name was everywhere on the newspapers, and all the gangsters were very fearful of him. You see, so what happened is one friend later, one day, came to the house, and he happened to be a feng shui expert. He said, "Hey, you know your house feng shui not good, lah." I said, "Why?" "Because your sa qi is too strong in this house. Your sa qi, the killing spirit is too strong, see, in this house." So he suggested rearranging things. So what were the things to rearrange? See? On the front gate, there were two stone lions, small stone lions, sitting on the pillars there, you know. The gate, you know, opening, sitting on there, stone lions with mouth open, you know, with red ribbon tied around. See? And being a man of war, a man who fights the underworld, you see, he's of that spirit, you see. And straight away you enter that house, you, of course, if you have common sense, you say, "Hey, this house, this person is not an ordinary person, see. He's an officer, either police or army man, you see." And then what happened is that the feng shui man recommended that these two be taken away. And it makes sense, because if your character is such, you are a forceful type of personality, you are a commander type of person, you see, you don't want to portray it and so obviously try to hide it a little so that you don't come across as too stern and too fearful to people, you see. Then he said, "You know, your roof there, you see, all the rooftop were all brown in color, but your one house is blue in color, you see. So you change back to red." And when I heard that, I said, "Oh, makes sense." See, because he's in this line of work, see, and if his enemies want to target the family, you see, it's easy to find a house. You see, out of the row of houses, you see, that one stands out, you see, easy to identify. So change back the color to just like the other houses. Okay? So what I'm trying to say is that it's actually common sense. But many of us overlook this, and many of us lack common sense. So some of these people, they're more sensitive to all this, they're trained in these areas, they come to offer you their service, you see, and you have to pay a price for it. They'll say, "You know, you adjust this, you adjust that, you know, you rearrange things such that it's more harmonious, it doesn't come across as in the way," you see. So for example, you see, you know, in the past, did you have a hook there, you know, to hang your brooms and so on, then it has broken off, you're not using it anymore. I come into your house, I see a screw sticking out. I'll tell you, this is not good. Somebody can fall on it, you know, and kill himself or hurt himself badly. Remove it, but the feng shui master will come and say, "Hey, your house, bad feng shui. You know, the pointed object, you know, it causes the bad qi to accumulate there." You see, that is his way of explaining things, you see. And feng shui, they develop into two major schools. In the Song Dynasty, that period, there's a Fujian school, that is the Jiangxi school. The Jiangxi school uses more the compass and the pakua, see, the Fuchun School develop more into the area of seeing the environment, how which direction the building should be facing, whether the angle is too sharp in the wrong direction, and things like that. So many buildings in Hong Kong, for example, were built, the shape and the orientation of the buildings were all based on feng shui considerations. Many are not aware of that, you see, but it is a fact. See, those who build it, they will consult the feng shui expert. Whether this design is good or not, the feng shui expert will say, you know, there it's too sharp, see, so it's dangerous, all the sa chi coming out. And there, you blunt it a little and redesign that. And then it faces that direction, facing the sea or facing the direction where the wind blows, you see. So the architect has to adjust accordingly. Yeah. So all you know, what I'm trying to say is that the bad and the good mix in, and there's no good science involved. And how do you know you're being taken in by a hocus pocus type of feng shui expert who come to make a big buck out of you, you know? So you're a superstitious person, you have to pay big money, you know? And in this country, there are many so-called experts. They have written books, we don't have to mention their names, you see. And this lady who has made so much money from Westerners, especially writing so many books, and she learned it from a Kung Fu expert. And the Kung Fu expert, Wu Zuqian, the five ancestors style of Kung Fu, you know, he's a well-known man in this area. And his style of feng shui is what we call the Jiangxi school, not the Fujian school. Okay? So the Jiangxi school is more on using the compass and the pakwa to predict things, whereas the Fuchen school is more on environment and harmony, living in harmony with the environment. Okay, so much for the applications. We now get an idea of how pervasive these principles are in the Chinese life. Okay, now we come to the Christian perspective. A number of principles drawn out from scripture should be applied to the assessment of Chinese culture and Chinese arts. The first principle is that God, the first truth is that God is the creator and sustainer of the world. In Psalm 24, verse 1 and 2, we read these words. The word of God tells us that the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. We know that creation was from God and it was originally good. But with the entrance of sin during the fall of Adam and Eve, things begin to decay, death comes in, the human race began to go away from the truth, and sin of various kinds appear in human relationships, see, and in human relationship with the objects in the world. So although spoiled by sin, all creation still belongs to our God. Chinese philosophy and arts are developed by pagans, people who do not believe in the true God. But this, however, does not make them inherently sinful. We must learn to recognize what are cultural in essence and what are inherently religious. So learning to separate religion from culture will help us a lot. Religion is part of culture, but not all culture is religion. And religion tends to color everything in culture. But if we can learn to separate religion from what is purely culture, it will help us. If we were to say we reject everything simply because they were invented or founded or created by pagans, then we have to cease living in the world. See, the poor Chinese who is converted, he has to cease to be Chinese. See, then he will have such tremendous struggle over his identity and his way of life. See, many things he would have to say he has to reject. But what we want is to learn to adapt to the Chinese culture without sinning against God. And the way to go about it is to realize that religion affects every aspect of culture. Let us separate the religious aspect from the cultural aspect. See? And when we are able to see how religion affects every area, remove those, then you discover that we come to what is actually pure culture, you know, without religion affecting it. See? And I believe that can be done. Otherwise, we have to escape from the world. See? So if it applies to Chinese culture, it applies to Hindu culture, it applies to various other cultures, then throughout the world, Christians are converted, they cannot live in the world. See? So for example, you see, you play football. Football is supposed to have pagan origin. Yeah? Of course, one theory is that it came from China because before the clampdown on the ball games, see, for over 300 years, those games were stopped. But traditionally, the football, the ball game was played by the people in the palace of the emperor. But one day, that particular emperor was not happy with all the girls giggling as they observed the people playing. So he put a stop to it, and the ban was complete. So sepak takraw, you know, kicking the rattan ball over a net that we've seen in Southeast Asia. At one stage, people try to claim that this is a game originated from Southeast Asia. But as they did more studies, they discovered it was brought here in the days of Admiral Zheng He, you know, Admiral Cheng Ho. You know, Zheng He came here, and then he dropped many people, and they settled down here. The game was played here. But when Zheng He went back, the emperor, because of superstition, stopped all exploration and destroyed everything. Now you can read this in books that have been written. For example, the book 1421 is worthwhile reading. You know? Okay. So Zheng He has went out on a number of expeditions around the world, carrying out scientific exploration and having cultural exchanges. And every time his fleet arrived back in China, he was welcomed back by the emperor and by the people as a hero. You see, but in the last trip, he was not welcomed back. When he arrived home, he was demoted and put in cold storage. The ships were burned, and all the books on scientific exploration were burned. All because the emperor in the Forbidden City, the palace called the Forbidden City, lightnings had struck one part, and the fire spread, and so a big part of the palace was burned down. So up to today, you go on the trip to Beijing, you go to the palace there, the tour guide will explain to you this was the part that was burned and then rebuilt. You see, that was the period when the emperor, because of superstition, he's the son of heaven. Okay? So he said the heavens must be unhappy with him. So this disaster happened. See? So in his superstition, he stopped all scientific exploration, scientific invention. All the books were burned away. See? Such a pity. Again, you see, true science mixed with superstition, alchemy, astrology, and so on. See? So we have to learn to separate them and then try to recover what facts and what were just mere superstition. Yeah? So in this case, we must learn that even in a Chinese life, the things can be explained more scientifically. As an example, you see, the yin and yang elements may be equated to the bits in binary logic. Those who study computers and mathematics, you know what I'm saying. In computer logic, we just use 0 and 1, yes or no. So it's binary logic, is 2. See, when it's only 0 to 1, then you jump to, you just use 0 and 1 to represent all numbers. Computer works like that. If you learn programming, that is one of the concepts you learn, the binary logic. The reason is because often decisions are made either yes or no, and NAND gate and things like that. You see? So computer logic makes use of the mathematical concept of binary logic. And we have noted that the Bakwa makes use of the yin and yang combined together in a certain way, producing the 8 trigrams. So if you turn over the page and look at the diagram there, see? So the Bakwa symbol using the 3 yang lines. So if you use binary logic, it will be 0, 0, 0, and then equivalent to the decimal system. Decimal is 10. Zero, you count 1, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, up to 9. 9 then is switched to 1, 0. Beyond 9, there is no other figure representing a bigger number except by by using those 10 digits from 0 to 9. So you understand that's what is called decimal. Deci is 10. Okay? Binary logic is 2. So you use 0, 1, 0 and combine this logic, these two digits only. So the next one up is 0, 0, 1. Then remember there's no figure above 1 because it's 0 and 1 only. So to represent 2, you have to move the 1 up. See? So that you have 0, 1, 0. Then 3 is 0, 1, 1. See? Because the 1 in the third place there is the unit. Then you move further. You see, it's something, if you have used a swan pan before, you will know roughly what that means. After 5, you jump to the top. The top there are two bits. The bottom are 5 bits. Am I correct? I believe I was correct. See, bottom is all 5. See, so after 5, you jump, we put 1 at the top, 5, and then 1 at the top. You see, so once you are used to what type of logic, then you operate on that logic. So in computers, we use binary logic. So it can represent the yin and yang can be represented like that, which is equivalent to the decimal system there. Okay. So don't worry too much if you can't grasp what is said. This is only an example that those who study mathematics and this computer programming, they would know well. Yeah? Now, it is then used by all these combinations, it is then used to predict natural disasters, the destiny of nations, and even the fortune of individuals. Now, we know, according to the Bible's teaching, it is sinful to consult mediums or the horoscope about one's destiny because they are agents of evil forces or evil spirits, and God controls our destiny. So there are two things wrong about those who try to know their future. Firstly, why consult a medium? A medium has interaction with evil spirits. God doesn't want us to have interaction with evil spirits. They might claim it's good spirits, but from the biblical perspective, all spirits that lead us away from trusting in Christ, that is evil. See? So evil spirits can parade themselves as good spirits, so don't be taken in. So that's why the Bible forbids us from consulting mediums or astrologers. See? Then some more, why you say, you know, we look at the stars and couple with the classification of the stars into different groupings, and then saying that if you are born in that month, then you are born under that grouping of stars. See? So for example, you are born under the Big Dipper, you see, then you are born under the Big Dipper, or you are born under Pisces, the fish. See, then they assign characters to your personality, saying if you are born in that year under that star, then you will have this personality. Now, where do all this come from? A lot of it is make-believe. All this is superstition. People just come up with it. See, did they really make scientific study, and did they really empirically prove that out of a million people, or even 5,000 people who were born under this, 90% of them show this characteristic? Can they clearly distinguish one group of people from another? No such studies have been made. You see, it's all just make-believe. And we don't want to know our future with the aim of adjusting our life to what has been foretold to us, when actually God is the one who directs our destiny, and we have to live in obedience to God. And God alone knows the future. That's why in James tells us in his epistle, you know, don't be like the man who goes to a city and plan that he will buy and sell and he will become rich and so on and so forth. No, we say God willing. See, our life is in God's hand, and we don't live our life based on some supposed prediction of our future. No, God is the one who is in control. We must believe that, and we must live responsibly each step of the way in obedience to His word. Okay. So for these two basic reasons, namely that mediums are in consultation with, in cohort with evil spirits, and also our life is in God's hand, and we are to live responsibly according to His will. Based on these two basic reasons, we will not consult mediums, and we will not consult astrology or the horoscope to determine our future. Okay? Trust in the Lord. His word is sufficient for us. Okay? But on the other hand, don't confuse things. It is not sinful in predicting that a lazy person will end up in misery. Is that difficult to predict? If you are lazy, habitually lazy, I can foresee that in your future is not going to be bright. We have a Chinese expression, so good, so bad. You don't want to study, you end up a manual worker. Then you have to eat literally with sweat pouring out from your brow and from hand to mouth. You see, of course there are exceptions. Okay, people are naturally intelligent, but you don't find even an intelligent man who is lazy. So a lazy man is bound. You can quite safely say you can predict he will not live a happy life. And also the market trends. You see the trend. You see people are just splashing. The politicians are having policies of a certain kind that affects the economy. So you put all this together, you stand back, you say, oh, this trend, you see. And you can use even mathematics to draw the graph, you see. This is how it's going. A crash is going to happen, you see. So this is not hocus pocus. This is using scientific method to predict the outcome of something. We are not saying it is 100% certain, but because of all these factors, the most likely outcome is that. So we can say, okay, most likely outcome. We are not saying 100% it will happen. So this is not consulting with spirits. This is not superstition, but we are using factors known to us to predict what will happen. So therefore, don't be afraid of studying this numbers theory and this, you see, different branches of mathematics nowadays are quite well established. For example, chaos theory and big data theory and so on. All these are branches of studies which can be shown scientifically. It's based on what we actually see. It's what God has given us. We have to explore the world, and this is what we find. So using this to predict the future is actually using scientific approach. So this leads us to the second biblical truth. Man is commanded to subdue the earth. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. God wants us to explore the world, to understand how the world works and harness it to our good. Of course, the fall causes us to abuse what God has given us. But the abuse aside, we do have a responsibility to study the world. So the creation mandate requires that we learn as much as we can of God's will to His glory. In the process, the use of the mind is essential. We don't just love our God with all our heart, soul and strength, but also with our mind. When the scientific approach is employed, a lot of the traditional superstitions in Chinese medicine would be removed. Because of the absence of a scientific approach and the lack of proper regulation and standards of practice, many quack doctors are found in traditional Chinese medicine. Chinese drugs have been known to contain high dosages of arsenic, which is poisonous, and steroids, which have bad side effects, as we have mentioned earlier. And we are reminded of the Qin Shi Huang Ti, he wanted to find the elixir of eternal life. So all the doctors had to produce something, and then he's supposed to have been poisoned to death by an overdose of mercury. He's the one who sent people to search for what medicine from where, saying he heard is this found where. So this bunch of people was supposed to have gone on the ship, and they didn't want to return because they know that they would die because they couldn't find what the emperor wanted. So where did they settle? Supposed to be in Japan, you see. So there's an ancient tradition saying that the traditional samurai people that were there were descendants of those sent out by Qin Shi Huang to search for the elixir, the medicine of eternal life. Okay. Then there is the duty of living a separated life. That is our next principle. We are bought with the blood of Christ. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. We are to live separated from the world, because light cannot exist together with darkness. So we have 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 22, apart from 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20. We have advocated a general attitude of non-retreat, of going into the world to study and subdue it. This must not be taken to mean that we are advocating syncretism, that is mixing everything together. No. See, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Separation from sin and from anything sinful is a Christian duty. We can be too sweeping, however, in classifying many things as sinful simply because that is the easiest way out. The so-called meditation of Qigong is in reality the practice of breathing exercises in a certain manner. Example, relaxation of the mind and body, like what I mentioned earlier. The idea of qi and its flow around the body is only a model for the explanation of the cultivation of health, endurance and strength. As in listening to music, the practice of qigong and martial arts becomes sinful only when one loses control of oneself in the process. Yes, even in enjoying music, see, you think it's harmless, but if you are a person who really becomes me, you are like hypnotized by music, you know, and you forget yourself and you behave based just on your feelings, then you are carrying it too far, really. Music can rightly be enjoyed, and not all music should be enjoyed by Christians, you see, but we must cultivate a healthy type of music. Even music, in music we must discriminate between what is good, what is bad, see. And if it is not wrong to enjoy good music without being carried too far, similarly, it is not wrong to practice martial arts and qigong if you don't get yourself carried too far. But of course, just like in music, there's good music for the Christian, there's bad music for the Christian. So also qigong, some variety of qigong is really full of hocus pocus and also very much steeped in religion. See, for example, one style of qigong tells you to imagine in the Tan Tian there is the reverse swastika. You know the swastika sign of Hitler. You know, see the Nazi, the cross with the legs at the end. See the cross, but with legs at the end. But the Buddhist swastika, the symbol is the reverse, the legs are pointed the other way. So you are told to imagine the Buddhist symbol in your Tan Tian, and then as you breathe, and as you breathe up to a certain level, you begin to think of the wheel that turning in one direction, and then at a certain time, under certain situation, the wheel turns in another direction, see? And then you imagine yourself to go to the different levels of enlightenment. When it comes to language like that, you know that you are already being carried away by this superstitious and religious beliefs. See? That sort of qigong is unnecessary. That sort of qigong is really hocus pocus. Leave them aside. It might work for them, but the model they use and the explanation is unnecessarily religious and superstitious. Yeah. But if it is just telling you about Tan Tian, focus your mind at that point, or focus your mind at a distant point, you see, and then you learn to relax. It's only a model to help you relax. And it's different from emptying your mind. We don't believe in emptying the mind, see. It's basically relaxation. Yeah? So in that way, the breathing also helps you, can be explained physiologically as well. Yeah? So just be wise. Don't reject everything simply because it's connected with paganism. Remove the religious element. See what is factual, what is helpful, and learn to distinguish what is a model and what are religious beliefs. Okay? If you are still unsure of anything, it's better not to practice it. Otherwise, your own mind is stumbled and you cause others to be stumbled. But if you are clear, you know that this is, as it were, pure in terms of from the biblical perspective, then you don't have to have a bad conscience. And you can't please everyone. People come and say to you, hey, you're Christian, you practice martial arts, how can? See? They sweepingly want us to stop. But our life is not, we live under the scruples of weak consciences like that. People have weak conscience. Then everywhere you go, you want to please them. of course, we try not to stumble people, but on the other hand, we don't allow our lives to be controlled by the scruples of others. So you see the difference between the two? Keep that difference clear. Then we are to live to God's glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul says that in all things, whether we eat or drink, we do all to the glory of God. Life on earth is short. Our days are numbered. We should not waste time in pursuit of things that do not last. We are to seek first the kingdom of God. The redeemed sinner will no longer wish to parade himself before the world as an expert of feng shui or the martial arts. 1 Timothy 4:8, bodily exercise is useful a little, but godliness is useful for all things, is profitable for all things. Furthermore, we do not do anything that our conscience condemns us of or that causes others to stumble, Romans 14:23. If you are unsure whether a particular type of Qi Gong or martial arts is good for you, don't practice it. We are not disparaging exercise and keeping good health. In fact, it would do many of us good if we picked up a hobby and exercise regularly. All we are saying is that we need to keep things in perspective by living to God's glory. Then the fifth biblical principle, the sufficiency of Scripture, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 to 17. All Scripture is sufficient to guide us in life. There is no need to resort to the study of feng shui before we know how to live harmoniously with the environment and with the people in the world. The basics of feng shui is nothing but common sense. A house facing a junction might indeed be dangerous, especially if the road is sloping, like what we have mentioned already, an oncoming car can crash into your gates or you can lose your own car. Moreover, it is never pleasant to have the headlights of cars shining into your house at night. Imagine your main gate faces the road runs down from your house or runs towards your house. A car heading towards you at night will be shining the headlights into your house. It's not very pleasant, isn't it, to have the car lights shining into your house. So that's why we say we avoid buying a house that faces a road. But apart from that, if you really want a cheap house and you think that area is a quiet area, there's hardly any cars coming that way, by all means go ahead. We are not controlled by superstition. Perhaps you can erect a barrier of some kind, you know, a screen by your glass windows or in front of your house so that you don't get the car lights shining into your house. So there are ways out. Other things about feng shui are nothing but shamanism or superstition. Christians who are trained in architecture, landscaping, or interior design might have to take into consideration the whims and fancies of their clients. Let your clients consult all the feng shui experts they want. Then adjust your plans to suit your client's wishes. There is no need for you to ridicule his beliefs, the client's beliefs. Neither is there any need for you to feel contaminated by them. Okay? So conclusion, the Bible teaches that man is made in the image of God. So it also teaches that man is fallen. In the Chinese culture, we find human genius and human depravity combined in a most intense way. We must understand that Chinese culture is basically a culture corrupted by sin. It needs to be redeemed. Chinese philosophy is bankrupt human wisdom. The Chinese people need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The challenge to us Christians is to understand the Chinese people and to bring the gospel to them. So with that, we come to the end of this study.